A special episode of Tower Dive.
Pandemonium.
How much is too much? What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special episode of Tower Dive. I, of course, am your host, Captain Hooks. And with me, as always, is the poignant yet pungent Pan the Man.
Pungent? I literally just showered.
Didn't take.
Less than an hour ago.
Didn't take.
No, I got one of them, got one of them scrubbers.
The ball detailers?
The ball detailers. I really...
I have one of those, too.
I get all the good bits.
They hurt.
You can't be so rough, you know.
I'm sorry. I've got two speeds. Fast and off.
And skin scraping.
Yeah. Removing that top layer.
Yeah. What brings us to the internet today? What's so special about Tower Dive this week?
Well, special about Tower Dive. There's something special about Tower Dive all the time.
That's
and
true.
It's not just us, usually. it's not just Short Bus Special, Hooks and Pan. Actually, after the outpouring of positivity on between Reddit and our YouTube page, an executive decision was made by the powers that be, the men upstairs.
Both
myself and you.
Yeah.
That... It seemed to pull a lot of strings in a lot of different ways, the topic of fandom, pros, and how it's dealt with within esports, and then outside of it, how it's dealt with in the context of esports in comparison to other more traditional sports.
Yeah, our couple of our topics last week seemed to hit a few nerves.
Yeah, both good and bad.
The community. Yeah, good nerves, feel-good nerves, and also that same nerve... that when you hit your elbow, your whole arm goes numb.
And you see, it's funny because tonight's discussion, what our show is all about, it was really, there's a microcosm of it within our YouTube. Because there's a lot of positivity, there's a lot of constructive, and then there's a lot of negativity, which is fine.
About half and half, I think.
Literally almost half and half, which... Yeah. Listen, we ask for it. We want it. The only way you're going to get better is by being informed in a constructive way what you need to work on. Like, for example, timestamps. We got them. Thanks to everybody who kept saying about them. I didn't realize they were so easy to make. Now I do.
Well, it depends on how many topics you cover and how many timestamps you have to make.
I mean, it is still just, you know, 4:11, and then that takes you to 4:11. So not really that hard. We can have 400 topics. It's just annoying to type it all.
Yeah, every minute.
It's just a matter of being lazy.
You got to make one of them timestamp macros.
But see, there's the constructive. Then there was the positive. I didn't know about your show. After listening to a few minutes, you guys are hilarious. I think you would be cool to go out and drink beers with. Awesome positivity.
Right.
Love it. I will drink beers with anyone who is willing to invite me out that doesn't live further than a few minutes away from me.
There was that one guy that's literally been watching our show since episode one.
Yeah,
I'm glad you guys made the front page of Reddit.
And so were we.
Hell yeah, we're glad too. Thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah, longtime listener, never thought I would have heard that.
Yeah, that guy has heard some shit.
Yeah, he has. He's literally lived through some pretty bad stuff.
Pretty bad episodes.
And based on what I just said, according to some of the negativity, that was last week.
Yeah.
We were actually at one point, I think this post was deleted by the user, but we were called cancer.
A couple times
we were called cancer. That's true. The worst thing on the internet. I mean, listen, we're not complaining because we put ourselves out here.
Any attention that we can garner.
Yeah, having been quoted now on Reddit as saying when they stop talking about you, that's worse because it means you're irrelevant. I fully stand by that comment. Yeah. Because, listen, whether or not you're saying anything about me or Pan, you're saying stuff about us. Whether it's calling us fat, dirty hobo, or hilarious, you assume hobos are dirty.
You know, not all of them. Some of them have those $9 gym memberships, and they go shower every week.
So, but regardless, thank you guys all for every comment. We are going to keep doing what we do, and... you know, if that means it's going to push a couple of buttons of a couple of TSM fans, then so be it.
Never going to stop pushing buttons.
Not going to stop pushing buttons. Mostly because we work on computers and there's keyboards.
I love pushing buttons, both literal and metaphorical.
Really, it's all some of the best stuff in the world. Yep. In fact, some of the stuff we're doing right now, people are going to complain about.
It's going to be amazing.
Because we've been going on this show now for like 3 or 4 minutes, and we haven't even talked about what we're doing.
No. Well, and let's do that. Let's talk about what we're doing. What we're doing this episode is we're going to break down fandom. Both League of Legends, both traditional sports, both
how it pertains, you know, to, like how the two equate and how they differ in some regards.
What it means to be a fan, how to become a fan, how people become fans,
why they become fans,
why the relationship between professionals and their fans, both from a professional perspective and from a fan perspective.
Sure. There's a lot, you know, this is a topic that's very hot within the last, I would say, 20 years.
And it's multifaceted.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying the topic of fans and how they react to their teams and their players has been a very hot subject over the last few years because of multiple reasons that we will go over tonight that I'm not going to just go into right now, but for both good and really, really terrible reasons. Mm-hmm. And as esports being such a young, professional sport, so to speak, we have yet to dive into the worst of the worst. Our bad is pretty tame as far as esports go.
There's never been a riot because CLG didn't make it to playoffs.
No, and you have yet to get a story of two CLG fans beating the shit out of a TSM fan until he was in a coma.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened yet.
There's no tailgate party where somebody accidentally sets their car on fire.
And Doublelift did not blow his hand up with fireworks on the 4th of July because he held it too long.
Yeah, because he was so happy.
Yeah, because he was so proud of freedom.
Yeah.
So enough dilly-dallying and gilding of the lily, as it were. Let's get right down to brass tacks.
That was a lot of little sayings.
Right, little colloquialisms, I believe there are. Or cliches, whichever
one. Kind of both, actually.
I think it's both.
Yeah.
But either way, it's a little bit of a different approach that we're taking to stuff, so bear with. I think it's going to be a pretty great time, and sit back and enjoy.
We're going to try and skirt that line between too real and not enough dick jokes.
We live the line too real, and we're probably going to be less dick jokes than normal.
You know, you say that. Just wait. We'll get there.
We'll make it there.
So let's start off. Now, you have a lot more experience in this, you know, scenario than I do. I've never really been a huge sports fan. My biggest fan crush was probably Huck from EG back when he was still competing in the GSL. That was probably, you know, and that was even then pretty mild, right? I didn't really buy the jersey. I didn't travel to Korea to go see him live.
But you, trip.
You know, you've been a Mets fan for your entire life, having grown,
I mean, remember, you have to also talk about consider where we both grew up. I mean, you grew up in, you know, in Memphis.
Yeah, but Memphis has diehard fans for a variety.
Yeah, but I'm saying is I grew up in the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey. You're talking about, number one, it's one of the biggest media centers in the world. Mm-hmm. So anything done there, no matter what it is bigger and larger, not because I care about it, but I mean, let's be fair. The Yankees are a national brand, not just an American thing. There are Yankee fans all over the world. You know, football is gone to Europe, and the Giants and the Jets are far more lucrative, despite how bad they are far more lucrative than, you know, the St. Louis, St. Louis Rams or the Arizona Cardinals. There's not a question about it. No matter how bad these teams are, New York will always persevere in terms of profitability.
Yeah, it also helps that you guys have like 9 franchises.
And again, also that comes into the fact that it's a place where people know that you're going to make money.
Right. So let's get into what makes a fan, right?
Well,
how are you a fan of something?
Well, I think I grew up in a Yankees household where my father, my mother, my grandparents on both sides, cousins, uncles, all were Yankee fans. So naturally that means I grew up to be a Mets fan. Okay. You know, dare to be different. But I think what it means to be a true fan, at least, is, yeah, when I was young, the Mets were really good, and that was great. Growing up as a little chap, it was awesome because my team was the toast of the town for almost a decade. You see, the being a true fan, though, isn't just being happy when they're good. You have to stick by them when they're bad, which I like to refer to as most of the 90s. a majority of the 90s. It's being angry when your team is suffering because you know that they're capable of better, but not abandoning them. You know, being a true fan is you love everything about it. You love everything about them, their flaws. It's like being in a marriage, just without any of the good stuff like sex. You know, you know, there's almost like you take vows being a fan, just like you did when you got married. Mm-hmm. You know,
was there a ceremony for you?
Not as big as I would have hoped.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, you know, through richer and poorer, sickness and in health, this all applies to sports. So, you know, this all applies to being fans of your particular team. Through sickness and health, sadness and happiness, the good times, the bad, as long as you both shall live. That is the same entire approach that you take towards being a fan, a true fan of a team. You know, you look at Red Sox fans, Yankee fans. Okay, maybe not Yankee fans. They're a fickle bitch. But real Yankee fans, Mets fans, listen, as far as we're concerned, we're the realest fans in the block because we've dealt with so much bad in the shadow of the Yankees. You know, looming down the road in the Bronx, you know, we're in Queens. That's the forgotten borough of New York anyway.
Hey, Queens is the new place to be.
Yeah, it wasn't always the new place to be. It was the place when you ended up when you couldn't afford to live in the good parts of New York. It's like, where do you live? I live near Manhattan. Where? Queens? Oh.
Governor's Island.
Oh. Oh, you live in Queens? Well, it's right near New York City.
Yeah, it's like one train stop out from Manhattan.
You just make one transfer and you're good. You're there. Oh. Yeah. So, I mean, in my definition, I think fan is a pretty, is it subjective? Is that the one where it doesn't have a specific definition?
Yes. Or
is it,
okay, subjective, yes. Would be good. Great. Yeah.
I don't want to sound ignorant or foolish. It is a little late in the game for that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But being a fan is a subjective term. Everyone's going to have a different, you know, take on what makes a real fan. But ultimately,
there's going to be gradients.
Well, yeah, but I think a true fan, a real fan of a team, and it's just an undying devotion to that team, no matter what the circumstances are, that you will support them when they're great and on top of the world, and you will, you know, do your best to lift them up when it's bad.
You know? I'm going to follow that up with a pretty poignant question, I think. Sure. Is it ever okay to become a fan of a different team?
You mean switch allegiances?
Yeah, change over. You know,
because
it happened. It has
that,
to happen.
That
right?
It does happen. I mean, the biggest situation is with that occurring. No, it's not actually. There are situations where it is quote unquote okay, I guess, where you can sort of excuse it. It's very difficult to do if you just decide one day you're not the Bulls fan, you're now a Knicks fan, because then you're just a jerk off. But say, for example, the Dodgers used to be in Brooklyn way back when in the, you know, I believe they moved in sometime in the 50s. They moved out to L.A. But, you know, they were as blue collar as it got. Their fans, you know, the Yankee fans were the money. The Giant fans were out in Queens, or, you know, in the Polo Grounds. But the Dodger fans were your dyed-in-the-wool, your blue-collar, your working class, you know. And then they moved to L.A. And all of those Dodger fans were left. We can't be Yankee fans. We've spent our entire lives hating the Yankees.
Why can't they still be Dodger fans?
Because you're no longer a New York team. I mean, a lot did stay Dodger fans, but it was... The identity of the team changed. You know, you went from being blue collar Brooklyn to being in Hollywood. You know what I mean? It really changes the you know, the whole reason that you identified with that team is now gone.
You know, I mean, the same players, right?
It, well, absolutely, but it's
for a moment.
Well, also, you had people, remember, going to these games in the 40s and 50s. You can no longer go to those games.
Even you've getting had, them, like, on the radio. Probably.
Yeah, you can't hear the games. You can't watch the games. Yeah. You can't go to the games. So you've probably now removed their team from other than being able to read about them in the paper. Mm-hmm. So they're no longer your team. Right. A lot of those fans moved over to the Giants. A lot of those fans became Mets fans when the Mets were made a franchise in 1962. So, you know, there are instances like that where your team moves, like when the Baltimore Colts moved to Indianapolis, you know, in the cover of darkness, or when the Cleveland Browns moved. These, you know, and eventually they came back as an expansion team. But there are instances where you can change your team, but it's very difficult to say, hey, I'm changing my team just simply because you don't like what they're doing anymore.
Yeah.
There has to be some sort of serious, extenuating circumstance right. to justify it, where you can't just decide your team isn't good anymore. Like, that's the worst decision ever. Yeah. Like, if your team is just a constant loser, you can't just say, I'm sick of losing, I want to win, so I'm going to be a Patriots fan now. That doesn't work.
One of these examples is actually if, like, a star player changes teams, right? So when
you're trying to justify your CLG.
No, I'm not actually. I'm actually gonna do an actual sports example because I looked into this. I'm pretty proud of this one. So when Babe Ruth went to the Yankees, right?
Right.
That brought a lot of fans over from the Sox to the Yankees because I mean they were like, I just want to, you know, support Babe Ruth team.
Yeah, that also brought most of the hatred that Boston has for the New York Yankees. I mean, the entire reason Boston hates the Yankees is that moment. Yeah.
But those ones that, you know, don't hate the Yankees, they're probably Yankees.
See, I thought you were actually going to I thought you were going to bring up a different situation.
No, that was my situation.
I thought you were going to go when Michael Jordan retired and unretired, but then he went to the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, no.
I was going to say that was probably more of a pertinent situation because Michael Jordan transcended just being a Bulls fan. You know, you were a Michael Jordan fan even if you didn't like basketball. Yeah.
Which actually might be a little, that metaphor or simile, I'm not really sure in this situation, might be a little bit closer to League of Legends because we have a lot of people that are fans of players.
Right.
Right.
I think that's not uncommon. I think it's a bigger thing that the reason people became fans of certain teams in League of Legends are because of players.
Yeah, either because they're streaming and you can relate to them.
You've just developed a quote-unquote relationship with that player by watching them stream all the time.
Right, and this is something that's kind of unprecedented in traditional sports, is that players, you know, are out there. You know, they're exposing themselves to the world, mainly because they want to get paid, too, because
I think they want
to be connected to their fans. I think that's kind of a...
There is a level of... you do definitely want to, but I don't think there's any athlete out there that doesn't want to have some kind of relationship with their fans. It's just very difficult because there's a very fine line. You know, where is that line where, you know, with number one, appropriate versus inappropriate, and also you have to, as a professional athlete, you have to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you'd have way more exposure, right?
Exactly, because you are in the public eye.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm glad you brought up the whole streaming thing and that how people can watch you stream. Because essentially for esports players and esports pros, that's practice for you. That is part of your practice.
Practice is a strong word. Part of the practice.
It's still part of getting... Yeah. If you didn't play solo queue at all for League of Legends and all you did was scrim with your team, you would not be very good.
Yeah.
Your skills would erode. Though. No, you don't have to scream, but they do anyway. It's part of... I'm just saying is you're watching their practice, essentially.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Yeah, you're in... Excuse me. You're in a world where in traditional sports you don't get to watch. Nobody gets to go to see the Yankees practice. You don't get to get into Jets practice during the week.
They do sometimes. They're not open often. Practices.
Only during preseason.
Yeah, so you do sometimes.
Yeah, but in very rare occurrences. It's not during the entire season.
No.
During the entire season, like if Meteos is streaming and Meteos at the time is playing for C9 and they have, you know, their first game in LCS is on a Thursday or a Friday, or rather a Thursday or a Saturday, and he's streaming on Wednesday or even Thursday morning before the games, you're still watching him practice.
Yeah.
Whereas in the NFL, if the Steelers have a game against the Colts on Monday Night Football, You're not watching Ben Roethlisberger practice Sunday morning.
No, that'd be ridiculous.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, is that there is, you know, an unprecedented amount of access that fans have and that pros allow.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting, because I don't know if I would allow this if I was professional. Me personally, I don't know if I'd want to put myself out there to that degree.
It's definitely
worth it.
And that's where you start to get into the, you know, the metrics, the logistics, what, you know, if you don't do that stuff, but you want to make money.
Yeah.
How do you, you know, where do you draw that line? What's enough? You know, you're like, I'm going to stream for 4 hours a day, 4 hours today with fans watching me,
mm-hmm.
just so that they can get a peek, you know, just get a peek and, you know, they'll get their fill. And then I'm going to do another 6 or 7 hours just completely alone. And just playing, you know, going through my game, going through my progressions, whatever, working on things, so people, you know, and not outside of the people in the games with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Because there's also, that brings up with esports, is there's a lot of instances of sniping.
Yeah, which is just detrimental to your
practice. Yeah, which, if right. you don't know what it is, sniping is when they're watching your stream and playing the game with you.
Well, that's ghosting, right? So sniping is different. Sniping is when you queue up at the same time they queue up in hopes that you get into the same game. You can confirm it, and then you can fuck up their game.
Yeah, and you can ruin it. Yeah, and you're watching what they're doing, and you're like, you know, you see that they're about to go into a promotions game,
yeah.
you know, and you're like, okay, I'm going to snipe them, and you get into the thing, and all you do is screw up, you know, screw up their chances of promotion. Yeah.
And which I got to say, for all the different types of trolls, I think sniping might be, while kind of the worst, almost the most admirable, because the barrier for entry for sniping is being, you know, having an account on the same level of the pros.
Yeah, you have to be a pretty good player to snipe.
Which, what an astounding waste of time.
You are
so much
really
time becoming diamond level player.
Yeah, at least at minimum diamond two.
Yeah. And then so you spend it trying to fuck up somebody else's game.
Yeah, all you're doing is spending your time in diamond two trying to ruin, you know, shifters opportunities to go to diamond one or something.
Yeah. And like, while that is admirable, it's nauseating.
It's really not admirable. I understand that you're ironically using admirable here.
Everybody has to have a hobby. Some hobbies are not as healthy as others. Stream sniping.
This is like,
is just, I mean, this is a person that really has respect for the craft.
If your hobby is stream sniping pros, the only hobby I can think of that's even close to that is masturbating and then stopping when you're about to finish.
That's it, yeah.
That's the next closest hobby that I can imagine that a person who's a stream sniper is what they're doing.
Which is both admirable and nauseating.
Because, that's gotta hurt, man. Because eventually you're gonna have to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, the only thing that I am good at is ruining other people's day.
And my day.
Well, yeah, and your day. Yeah. But no, because your day, the thing is your whole entire League of Legends existence revolves around being a negative presence.
Yeah.
To people who this is their life.
And livelihood.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, this is their life and livelihood. This is how they pay their bills.
Yeah, imagine,
they don't have bills.
Imagine if, you know, you had a hobby and your hobby was walking into H&R Block and grabbing all the paperwork and just throwing it up in the air and then walking out.
That's like being a, like if you try to equate that to real sports, that's like if your hobby is running into football practices and stealing passes that are being thrown to wide receivers and running away with the ball.
Yeah.
And then but coming back and constantly doing it as many times as you can sneak into the practice.
Yeah. Somehow.
Yeah, you know, they're working on plays, really important plays, and you intercept passes and run out of the stadium with them. What the hell just happened? Ultimately, that one game isn't going to change how good that player is.
No.
Because eventually they could just be like, all right, well, I'm going to back off the game for an hour and I'll come back in an hour and you won't even know.
Yeah.
You know, that'll be the end of it.
Or they set up a stream delay.
Exactly. Or they set up such a delay where it's not a problem. But
at that point, you started fucking up the experience of all the viewers, right? It's not just the
person. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. You've ruined the experience for, you know, potentially 20,000 people.
You've taken away that interaction that people crave
because a lot of streamers don't like to have a heavy delay because then the questions and stuff, yeah, and it's all everyone, nobody knows what the hell's going on.
Yeah. So good job, Stream Snipers. You should top that job, though. You know, build a plane, build a little model airplane, or you know, take a painting class or something.
Collect baseball cards.
Yeah. Anything besides stream sniping.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe get even better at the game and become a pro yourself. I don't know. People can snipe you. Yeah, you're right there. So you might as well just go the next step instead of just being like, no, I can't go the next step.
Yeah.
Maybe do that.
Which is interesting. I mean, is this a form of being a fan? You know, is this like being so obsessed that you have to ruin someone's experience?
I was going to say, I believe it's a form of obsession, and I could be wrong. I'm not a psychologist or a sociologist of any kind. I don't claim to have any knowledge outside of the two classes I took in college.
Two? Goodness.
Yeah, actually, I took probably four, and I also took a class on philosophy.
You got two of those as well.
So I have like 8 to 10 classes on useless stuff that's not going to help me anywhere outside of this particular conversation that we're about to have. But no, there is definitely some kind of a obsession in that. It's either an obsession with the player or an obsession with the action of where do they get, what's going on in their head where they're saying to themselves, I am going to snipe Bjergsen, or I am going to snipe because I noticed it on Reddit, Groscore. Yeah. And I'm going to do my best to ruin his day. Like, what is going through your mind where that is something you feel compelled to do? It's a level of obsession. And it's a level of fandom where you're into the fanaticism part of it.
The top 1% of the fan base of anything, really, not just League of Legends, anything, the top 1% is always the most unbearable.
It's the most negative of the negative. You are the worst of the worst. You are in a percentage that is bad for the 99% that are not that way.
Right, and the polar opposite of that, actually, is the White Knights, right? The people that see these players as perfect beings. It's a totally different experience, it's very positive, kind of cringeworthy.
It's absolutely it's a similar level of obsession, but instead of in the negative, it's a similar of the positive. And it was funny because there was actually, I was watching as we were preparing for this show, it was considered a real news video, but it wasn't, it was a sketch, and it was a Laker fan talking about Kobe Bryant. He's like, oh yeah, Kobe Bryant, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes into these really awkward, he goes, you know, maybe we can just, you know, talk about our fears and our, and, you know, we could just hold each other and not be uncomfortable with the awkward silence. And you go, and it was like this bizarre, it was so, and he's like, you know, it, but not in a gay way. It was like, that was, he was saying, it was really funny and it wasn't real. It was clearly a skit from some show, but whoever wrote the article didn't recognize that. I don't know how. I did within 30 seconds of it being on.
Nice.
It was hilarious, but it's like that. That's like the White Knight, where you know they don't care what you do, good or bad. You will always be good in their eyes, and all they want to do is be your friend or be someone who you know recognizes you.
Yeah, and I think if you're reading the White Knight text, you know, as a pro, you're reading this, that probably feels pretty good. So, to a degree, I think,
until it gets weird.
Until it gets weird. Until they start showing up at your house or mailing you letters with, like, their hair in it.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you know, a lot of these pros, and not even pros, you know, there's the random streamers who have big followings and stuff. And they have their Amazon wish lists.
And
I've always... Sorry, something in my mouth here. I've always had an issue with the Amazon wish list from a streamer or a pro. Because... to me, it feels like you're taking advantage of people liking you and people wanting to support you.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing if you're like, "Don't I take donations because this is how I make my living."
Right.
Fine. I get that, and that is fine. I mean, listen, we do the same thing. We don't get any, but we – listen, if somebody wants to donate to us, we're more than happy. I mean, we will give you whatever we can, which isn't much, but – if you feel compelled to donate to either a streamer or a pro or someone out there, that's awesome. That's great that you're helping them to produce better content with whatever that may be.
Or even donating to like a Patreon, right?
Exactly.
It's money towards the show. You're actively contributing to generate better content. I mean, it's not that different from buying a movie ticket, right?
No, it's not. Well, I mean, it's a little different because I feel like it's a little more intimate.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because in buying a movie ticket, you're supporting Universal Pictures in some regard. You know what I mean? Like, if that's a Universal movie. But when you're, you know, when you're subscribing to a Patreon for, like, a cosplayer because you want to help them be able to make this their career and you know, create better cosplays so they can be bigger in that particular world, it's definitely a more intimate relationship. And I don't mean intimate in a sexual way, just I mean it in a personal way.
Yeah.
It's a more personal relationship.
But this same cosplayer, if she posts her Amazon wish list and you know, buy her a copy of whatever movie she has on there.
Or you're buying, yeah. Like, she's like, I want this, you know, latex suit for my next cosplay, and it's $275, and you buy that for them. I feel like that's stepping over a line.
I don't know. Is there a line between list of stuff that you would need to make your show better and just asking for donations? I mean, if I'm a streamer, you know, let's say I'm Robert X. Lee, right? I've just retired from gaming. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start my stream career.
Sure.
I only have a mediocre camera, a crappy microphone, and, you know, not a good enough computer to really give a great looking stream.
Right.
If I put on my wish list, you know, webcam, tripod, microphone, processor, video card, you know, stuff like
that.
Now
you're also, but you're also taking donations.
People have both, right?
I guess
they're
I don't know.
Directly
it's
directly for the show.
Okay, maybe that in that regard, I am more okay with it. I don't love it, but I'll accept that. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that I'm not saying I'm the authority on this.
No, I think the line for me, at least in this scene,
is when they start asking for like personal things,
products, right?
Yeah, like I want, you know, I want the Verticoli.
Yeah, you know, I want these, you know, new Beats headphones.
Yeah,
you know, I want a new TV. Like, you're not
exactly. Yeah, TV. Okay. That's I can see what you're saying here, and that's acceptable in some regard. I'm more okay with something that's going to better your product.
Yeah.
That you are presenting, be it cosplay, be it streaming, whatever it is that you're doing. Versus, I really want Ant-Man on 3D Blu-ray.
Right. And a new set of 3D glasses.
Exactly, and a 3D Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
All of these things that will make my life better for you.
Yeah.
How? Because then I'll be happy on stream because I get to watch Ant-Man in 3D on Blu-ray.
Yeah, but God, fans will buy these things too.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't want this to be about guys and girls and men versus women, but you know,
We don't want to.
We're not going into that. What I'm saying is that you have, you know, that's a part of the relationship with pros and fans, is that, you know, you'll have lonely guy X be like, oh, well, if I buy this for her, then she'll, you know, say my name on stream and then maybe we can start some kind of a friendship or something. And that's what I'm saying, is where you're saying that they're giving them personal items. I think that is what the problem that can draw
from
that.
That's where it gets weird, is the personal items. Contributing to a show is great. Buying somebody equipment for their show is great.
Okay.
I think
it's okay.
Somebody,
it's not great.
You know, needs to buy, you know, a new dress to go out for, you know, doesn't have to be a dress, could be a new suit.
Yeah. A tie.
Kind of gets weird.
It does. That's where it starts. That's where the relationship between fan and celebrity is starting to be blurred, because then you're using, both sides are doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
You're asking for things because you want them, and they're giving you things because they want something back.
Right.
In some cases.
It's not you providing, you as
you're
a,
not providing
as
a service
creator,
anymore.
You should be providing the content.
Yeah.
The fan should be like, I like this content. And that actually should be the end of the relationship.
Yeah.
Right? But if the fan were so inclined, they could be like, I want to help contribute to better content.
Yeah.
Right? So you get this nice cyclical.
Exactly. Well, you're not expecting anything in return except better content. That's what you should, if you're going to be donating to something and you're going to support somebody in that regard and you're going to subscribe to their channel, or you're going to give them a donation of $10, or you're going to buy something off their Amazon wishlist that furthers their content production, be that whatever it is, then your expectation in the end is better content. It's a higher quality video because you bought them a camera, or it's whatever it is that the money that you gave went to.
Yeah.
that should be your only expectation as a fan, is for a better product at the end of the day by supporting them.
Right. And so, and this is all great, but what happens, and we've seen this happen before, what happens when a fan crosses the line? Like, where is the line between, and we were talking about this a little bit previously, where's that hard line in the same between, I guess, fan and hater?
Almost, well, right? I don't even know if it's hater, but it's the line between fan devotion and just being
a turd.
Just a negative presence. Yeah, just being a turd, being an asshole. You know, and there is definitely a line.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of, and I, and you know, I'm very, it's interesting that Crepo had commented on.
It's a blurred line.
Yeah, it's a very lightly drawn line in the sand. It's a very easy line to miss in some regards for some people. Other people have no problem. They don't even recognize that there is a line.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Fans or players?
I honestly, probably both. Sometimes it's both, and it's for both good and bad reasons. But Crepo had commented on a post, on our post on Reddit, because I was quoted by someone from my last week's show, because I said something to the effect of, you know, stop complaining. They're talking about you because they care. The moment they stop talking about you, you're irrelevant, and that's worse. Mm-hmm. And he claimed that to be bullshit because he, you know, if you read any pro streams, there's some horrible things being said and all of this. And number one, that comment, and I stand by it 100%, was also taken out of context.
Yeah.
Because it was also prefaced with, this is going towards people who are not saying vile and horrible things to people. Because that is where there is a line. If I say, if you're a pro and I'm a fan of yours, and you make a play that you end up dying and then the team ends up losing because you threw a team fight, I'm like, oh, you suck. You're so bad. What the hell is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? None of that is good. But at the same time, it's just a reaction because I wanted you to win.
Right.
And also, because I am a fan of your team and you as a player, and that hurts me because as a fan, I live vicariously through you.
Yeah, because as a professional, your reaction should be like a mirror to that. Like, oh, no, I suck. I fucked up.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
You know, and then you can move on from it and you can look at how you fucked up. But having the fact that you screwed up pointed at to you isn't necessarily negative.
No, it's and listen, fans all around the world in every sport that exists, that's what they do. That is part of your quote unquote perceived job as a fan, is to, when somebody makes a mistake, point it out to them as many times as possible without actually pointing it out to them.
Yeah.
You know, just pointing it out. Like, you screwed up. What the hell's wrong with you? How could you have turned that ball over like that? Why would you make that pass? Why would you gank top lane when mid lane totally needed it and you both got double killed because it was a shitty gank? You know, it was stuff like that. You know, where you know better because you're looking at it from a different perspective. Yeah. Everyone knows better than the pros do in every single sport.
It's super easy when you have instant replay.
Absolutely. You know? And when you can see everything that they can't see. Yeah. You know, when you're looking in League of Legends, for example, when you see somebody ganking from river, but you know somebody's in the other bush that they don't know is there.
Right.
Well, you know, you're walking into a situation that, whereas we can see, like, no, what are you doing? He's right there. Why don't you know he's there? It's like stupid stuff like that.
And that's okay.
And that's, yeah, that is, it's okay because you're not, it's not personal at that point.
Yeah.
You're not attacking them. You are frustrated with the situation. You're frustrated with the play. You're frustrated with your team, but you're not crossing that line in the sand.
Is saying they suck, is that not a personal attack?
I don't think so. I mean, it can be taken as one, but if you're a professional anything and you're getting upset by a player, by someone saying you suck, I mean, that's pretty weak.
Yeah. Okay.
That's pretty thin, because I mean, shit, I'm sure you've told me a million times you suck.
You do suck though.
I do suck. Yeah. But as I'm saying, is that something that's maybe 30 or 40 years ago that would have been looked upon as a little worse?
Mm-hmm.
But I think in today's day and age, you suck is a pretty basic insult that no one would take as an actual attack on them.
That one's
You're right. I actually do suck.
That one's not cutting too deep.
No, that's a pretty tame, that's a PG, you know, PG-13 insult. Now, when you make that same play where you go for that gank and you get double killed and that person is pissed and they say, "You fucking faggot, you're so fucking bad, you should stop playing this game, I hope you fucking die of cancer, I hope your little sister gets raped by a gang of monkeys." You know, and it's just like, now you've crossed the line from being an overzealous fan to being like a dangerous human being.
Yeah.
You're now borderline like a sociopath type, like, you know, sociopathic things you're saying. And that is where what I was talking about does not include.
No.
So when someone tweets you, you know, at Crepo, "I hope you die of cancer," I'm sorry, that's not a fan. And whether or not they say anything isn't making you relevant. That is not the talking about you that I am talking about.
Right.
Saying you suck, saying, you know, you're, you know, why would you make such stupid plays? You know, you should leave this team. Yeah, those are hurtful things in some regard, but they're not the worst things you can hear. And they say them because they want you to succeed.
Yes.
They're ultimately
not the guy that wants your sister raped by monkeys. That guy just wants noise out of his mouth.
He wants to bring you down to his level. Yeah. He wants to have gotten to you, whether or not you did good. He would have found somebody bad.
Yeah.
Because he is the cancer. Let's flip that on him. He is the one that is the cancer. Because he is the one that is infecting the community with this negativity.
Yeah.
He's infecting the players that are reading that and that are responding to that, that are giving this person the time of day with, you know, by reacting to it, mm-hmm. by referencing it in other posts. You're now creating a cancer because you are putting something in a situation that you could have just ignored and let it go. But instead now it is affecting everyone around it.
What you shine a spotlight onto it.
Exactly. You have now
turning spotlights onto it.
Exactly. You have now made that person, if you want to call them that, and I will be absolutely as hard as I can on those people because they deserve it.
Yeah, if they think they can dish it out,
you've given them what they wanted, which was attention and the understanding that they got to you mm-hmm. by giving it a forum. And by giving it life,
acknowledging it,
you've now succeeded in that person's mission.
Yeah.
So that's when fans cross the line, because those are no longer fans.
Yeah.
So those are not the people that are wanting you to succeed so much that when you fail, you have let them down.
Yeah. Which I think actually might be the hardest stuff to read, actually. I'm sure it's pretty easy to filter out the, you know, the rape jokes and the threats and all the
sure.
dirtiness that you're supposed to ignore.
That's
sure. probably pretty easy to filter out. But reading the actual fans saying, "You suck, I wish you got benched,"
yeah,
all the stuff could like you, that.
Yeah,
isn't that hurt more? These are the people who you're supposed to impress.
Well, now you're getting into a situation because let's throw an example of a good like that where someone's saying, "I hope you get benched."
Yeah.
In esports, it's very difficult to hope for an injury.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not like someone's going to break their thumb on stage and have to be replaced. Yeah,
they can get carpal tunnel, but that's usually
it could get carpal tunnel. Yeah. That's the silent assassin. You know?
Don't joke about carpal tunnel. That's serious.
I know. My father has.
Yeah, I might have a bit.
Carpal tunnel. Don't overstretch. I overstretched too much one time, and I had no strength in my wrist. I couldn't move. Couldn't open doors. It was horrible. I freaked out. I thought I had. ALS.
So dumb.
It was the most hypochondriac moment of my entire life.
You're so dumb.
I never want to think that way again. I don't know what the hell happened. For like a week, I went nuts. But I digress. Perfect example of that is the injury cheering.
Yeah. Don't do
that. A specific example is in 1999 during a game between the Cowboys and the Eagles, who are huge rivals in the NFL, in the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles. During a game in 1999, Michael Irvin was injured in the first quarter, wide receiver for the Cowboys. He was injured. He was actually hit, and when he landed on his head.
Ew.
He was down for quite a while and was carted off on a stretcher because it was a, you know, apparent neck injury. Now, they were playing the game was being played in Philadelphia, and the fans cheered.
Of course they did. They're Philadelphia.
They didn't cheer because he came off the field with a thumbs up. No, they cheered because he was an important player that had an apparent neck injury and he had been hurt and was taken off the field. Now, that is wrong.
Yeah, that's not okay.
That is when you are no longer a fan. You're a scumbag.
You're an asshole.
Yeah. The dog agrees.
Yeah.
You are no longer a fan. You are now an asshole. So, you can kind of equate that to the situation of cheering for a player being benched, I guess.
What if it's actually for the best of the team?
Well, that's right? What you hope
for. For the good of the team. You know, let's say there's a player had kind of a shitty week, right?
You can equate it to the turtle situation. You can equate it to the turtle situation with Keith McBreeve.
Yeah, he tilted, had another shitty week. And then, like, all these tweeters.
I definitely don't think it's twatters.
Well, some of them might be twatters.
Twitter users.
You know, you see this flood of, I hope you get benched. Why haven't they benched you? Why are you still playing this game? You know, and these are people that want to see the team succeed.
Right.
But they don't think that the player is the best way for that to happen.
See, that's a tough situation because in one regard, you're a fan of the team so much that you want them to succeed.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you are kicking a man when he's down.
Mm.
You don't, I mean, because he knows he's playing bad.
Right.
He's not delusional where he's like, I'm playing so well. Why is this a problem?
Right. I'm just trying to figure out where
well,
we
that's the thing.
The
that's,
area. This is why it's such a complicated situation.
That's,
right?
And that's why I said it's such a thin line where is saying you should be benched if you're, you know, if you make a mistake. Is the most innocuous statement you can make. It's just like, it's just someone venting frustration at the moment. It's like, oh, he shouldn't even be playing. Whereas you got a guy who's clearly struggling, who is probably on the cusp of being benched, and you're saying, I wish you were benched. There, it's definitely a situational type thing where what you're saying, based on when you say it, can be perceived in a million different ways.
So maybe we should really be looking at the context of some of these situations.
Absolutely. Like, I mean,
heat of the moment tweets.
Yeah.
You suck. Totally.
And also, again, like, you know, Crepo said, oh, you know, there's times when I look during a broadcast, I have a search set up for Crepo, and I see people telling me you should get cancer. Well, you're an announcer, so you're not doing something where, oh, man, you announced real bad that game.
That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. You're doing your job. Whether or not they like you or don't like you is of no consequence. That you're doing your job. That's not deemed that you can't quantify. Let's put it that way.
I mean, you
there
can.
Is no. It's very difficult to quantify an announcer,
especially a color commentator like Crepo.
Yeah,
unless he grossly gets the facts wrong, which I would
or doesn't say happen. Anything.
Yeah, or doesn't
is just,
say anything.
Yeah, if your job is to be entertaining and to add life to the play-by-play announcer. So as a color man, as long as you're talking, man. Well, that's what it is. The name is a color man. I didn't say a colored man.
I find a better name for that.
So I'm sorry, that's what it is. As the color man, your job is to add life to the broadcast. And as long as you're doing that to the best of your ability, it's very difficult to quantify outside of you're not talking or you're like making racist jokes or something.
So all the people that say suck to Crepo or to Jet or to Monty or whoever, if they're telling you you suck, these are people that just don't like the sound of your voice.
They just don't want, they don't like you. They don't like you and there's nothing you can do that's going to change them. It's not like you're going to go from broadcast to broadcast where all of a sudden someone's going to go, you know what? I all of a sudden like Crepo a lot more now. Or, oh, Jad is so much better now.
I mean, that can happen.
It absolutely, but again, those aren't the people that are just telling you you suck because they hate you.
Yeah.
Those are people who genuinely like DeFicio. DeFicio started off, he was not a great announcer.
Mm-hmm.
He has become an incredible announcer now.
I really didn't like Freak for a long time.
I still have issues with
this
Freak.
This last season, he's gotten better.
I think it's because he's being put with better people around him.
And he's toning himself down a little bit.
Which he needed to.
He really...
And it's funny because if you watch old videos of Freak, he wasn't as ridiculous.
No, he kind of... You know, like...
He tried too hard to be professional. Yeah. And then he tried too hard to be an idiot.
Yeah.
And so now he's sort of...
He's finding that sweet spot.
He's trying to find that sweet spot. Yeah. And again, I just called Freak an idiot. Do I not like Freak? No. Do I love Freak as an announcer? No, but... I respect him as a professional.
Yeah. He's still
Do I hope he gets better to the point do I hope he gets better to the point where I enjoy his broadcasts? Of course I do.
Have you ever watched his stream? His stream's dope.
No, because again, I feel like when he's on camera, he's trying too hard to be Freak and not be David Turley.
That's where I find it weird. On the stream, he's David Turley. He's actually really smart.
Yeah, he knows the game. I mean, listen, there's no doubt that he knows the game.
It's when he gets on stage. That's it. He takes those steps on stage. He becomes
He takes his goof juice, man.
He drinks his goof juice.
Yeah, he just becomes a just kind of dopey, and that's the part. But if they're telling you, like, if you're an announcer, Crepo, and someone tweets out to you during your broadcast in between games that I hope you get cancer, there's nothing you can do to change their mind.
No.
And they don't actually hope you get cancer. They just don't like you at all. Well, and there's nothing you can do to change their mind because their goal in life is to make you feel bad.
Yeah, and try and get as much attention on them.
And guess what?
Possible.
Yeah, by you mentioning that, you've given them power.
Yeah. Don't do
that. And that's the worst thing to do. By giving them power, you are validating their existence as an internet troll.
But let's say you do screw up somehow. You know, it doesn't have to be Crepo.
It happens all the time.
In fact, Jack actually has the biggest problem with this, but he never gets anything wrong. For some reason, Jack says something, people on the internet pick it apart, and they take everything out of context, and then they say
I think people don't like Jack because Jack does at times voice his opinion, which is unpopular at times.
That's fine.
It's almost worse to give an unpopular opinion than it is to be wrong.
Anyways, he gives an unpopular opinion. But what does he... I mean, what does he do? He reads all this, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. All this stuff going on.
Yeah.
Makes a nice long post explaining his thought process. This is totally okay, right? This is straight up interacting with people that care that you were wrong because they don't want you to be wrong. Because, well, I mean, they probably do want you to be wrong. There's two types of people, right? There's people that want to see you fall, and there's people that want to see you succeed.
Sure.
I want to encourage the ones that want to see you succeed. You don't necessarily have to take their criticism seriously because they don't, you know, they're not professional, right? They're just people on the internet. But you should feel free to defend yourself at some point, right? Ignore 100% of the negativity.
Well, you can. Absolutely. You could just flat out. The thing is, by ignoring 100% of the negativity, you're also going to ignore the positivity.
Mm.
Because, I mean, realistically, if you have a problem with what people are saying about you on social media, on Reddit, whatever your public forum is for you to communicate with your public, we'll say, with your fans, whatever it is, there's no way to filter out negative and only be down on the positive. There's no way you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're going to read it no matter what. Because you're just going to go through your Twitter feed and scroll down and be like, oh, hey, Crepo, you know, a YouTube video, blah, blah, blah. I hope you die. Get cancer. I love you, Crepo. You know, it's just going to be like, it's going to be, and I don't want to be like, seem like we're picking on Crepo here. It just so happens that he had commented on
that. We just keep saying
that.
The word Crepo a lot.
Because he had commented on the post that is sort of in question, that sort of stirred part of this about. So I'm just using him as the example. Mm-hmm. I could use, you know, just pro A. It doesn't matter who it is. But, you know, if you're using that, there's no way you're going to be able to filter it out. So the only way you can filter it out is by mentally blocking it and just ignoring it and not giving it power over you.
So at what point can you defend yourself? Is there any way to kind of like, you know, you can't just be quiet on all the social media. Otherwise, people are going to stop talking about you, right? You can still be relevant in the scene. But the whole thing about esports and League of Legends is that the professionals and the celebrities are very close
There's an unprecedented amount of access right. that fans have to players and to ignore
everything. You're not ever going to have a very strong fan base because people crave this interaction with you.
Absolutely. And then part of the reason why people get so popular outside of being great players is that they do have this accessibility with their fans to a level. So yeah, you're right. You can't be a social media blackout unless you're okay with being social media wise irrelevant. Like, you're never going to be irrelevant if you're a pro playing. You're rarely going to be irrelevant unless you were a zingy.
Yeah. Or
who was a fairly irrelevant pro at the time.
Irrelevant pluros.
Yeah. What was that?
Irrelevant pluros. I have problems with my R's. All right. Don't make irrelevant. Fun of me. How dare irrelevant you?
Irrelevant pros. See.
Critique me. Okay. You don't know any of that.
No, there absolutely are irrelevant pros. And I mean, the better teams, it's like, you know, you look at it up players on the Yankees versus, you know, players on I'm trying to think of like a San Diego Padres.
There's a team. There's definitely going to be San Diego Padres.
Exactly. Oh. See my point. The you know, you're even your least popular player on the Yankees is probably going to be more well known than the most middling person on the San Diego Padres. Mm-hmm.
But
so,
kind of one of the keys to being a professional in esports is having a strong social media connection.
Right, and that it's part and parcel to being a good player, though. Mm-hmm. If you're a bad player on a pro team, but you have a huge social media, like you're avid with in social media, it's not going to make you significantly more popular, unless you're Dyrus.
Might have a more popular stream,
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, look at all the mediocre pros in North America. They spend half their time tweeting and making Facebook posts about what's going on in their lives.
Yeah, I guess. No, I guess that has some level of credence
to
it.
So back to my original point, if you want to have a social media presence and you're big on the scene, you have a lot of exposure, there's going to be a lot of negativity out there. Some of it might be a little valid. A lot of it's going to be just noise. But at some point, right, you can't just be like, thanks for the fans. You know, thanks to my fans, you can't just keep tweeting that out.
You can't just serve up cliches. Yeah.
Can you defend yourself? Can you take one person, right? One person that told me, someone calls me like a dirty hobo, right? Is there a point where I can take that comment, you're a dirty hobo, and flip it on them or make a joke out of it? Or,
I think if you do feel the need and you are compelled to have to respond and you are at the point where now I have to respond to the negativity, I think this is a personal thing. This is how I handle it. And you can see exactly how I've handled negativity on our Reddit posts, on our YouTube. I handle things very passive aggressively. I don't listen. I have already accepted being the villain of this of our duo.
You're the bad guy.
I have accepted being the bad guy, and that's fine. That is a hat that I will wear with pride if I have to. I will say the things that are controversial and piss people off, almost in an effort to protect you from it.
Oh, please!
Because
I need protection.
I'm not saying you need protection, but I would rather only one of us be the villain than both of us be the villain. That's what I mean.
You can
what
only
I
have
mean.
One bad guy.
You should only have it's good cop, bad cop, and I will be bad cop. Unfortunately, it's a hat I've worn.
A little honey and vinegar.
Exactly. So, but you, I handle things very passive aggressively. I'm not going to feed a troll.
No.
If he tells me I'm cancer, or if he calls me a big fat fatty. I don't, you know, that stuff, you know, calling me fat and then telling me not to take it personal. Well, I'm going to take it personal because that's a personal attack, but I don't care that you called me fat because I don't know you.
Right.
So it doesn't mean anything to me. You know, calling me cancer, I'm going to say thanks for watching. We wouldn't be able to do this show without you. I think that's sort of the...
Specifically this show, this episode.
Yeah, this episode. That's the way I've always handled negativity. Mm-hmm. I put a funny spin on it. And I don't, you know, you're not going to get to me. I have incredibly thick skin. So it takes a lot to really get under my, I mean, you have to be an adept troll and really know things about me. You have to know things about me that are going to hurt, because there are things that do bother me that nobody would be able to bring up. You're not going to get those on
Jesus.
Yeah, you're not going to get those from you know, our podcast or anything like that. So, you know, try as you might. Sorry, I'm still going to say I hate you.
Yeah. I've always tried to treat it, and I say always. We've come into recent moderate, not even moderate, mild internet success, right? We did one.
We have the most mild of internet success that you could have while remaining normal people.
An ember of success in this, you know, little one successful Reddit post that we made.
In a microcosm.
I treated all the negativity almost like a heckle. You know, that's really all it is to me. It's a heckle. It's a quick line saying, you know, quote me on this. Your show is going to fail. Like, great.
That's exactly what I did.
Exactly quote you on this.
/ quote. Yeah, your show will fail.
Thanks for watching.
Random internet doofus.
That's it. It doesn't bother me. The ones that really bother me are the ones that either clearly didn't watch the show and then try and want to start an argument, or the ones that want to engage me in such a fierce conversation.
They're looking for a response.
Yeah, and so I can't acknowledge those ones, because if I get sucked into that black hole, I'm never getting out of it.
No,
man.
That is a deep hole that you will never make your way out of, and that's why. And listen, trust me. Part of my problem, personally, is that I love to respond to people. Mm-hmm. I love to respond to people. I almost get off on arguing.
Yeah, it's gross.
And you know that about me.
Oh yeah.
So that's why the worst thing you can do to me is engage me in an argument, or tell me something, and like I have to bite my lip and just like white knuckle myself to not respond to you. It's the hardest thing in the world for me to not respond to. Are you writing this down?
No, I'm just reading my notes.
Oh, that's what you're writing this down. Remember. Engage him in argument. That is the way to get to him. And like I said, I enjoy it. I love to argue. I love to piss people off and push buttons. Maybe I'm a bit of a troll in that regard. But that's fine, because I do it in a constructive manner. Yeah. I play the villain. I'll piss off the TSM fan by saying what I think about them. Not because I legitimately hate TSM.
Oh, you don't like them.
I don't like them. I respect them as professionals. I may not respect their game, Tyrus, but it doesn't matter. Is that they, you know, they've done something that I can't and won't.
Yeah.
And I respect them for that. But we also have a show to do, and part of that show being a talk show is we say our opinions.
Right.
So I will say the unpopular stuff. So, you know, yeah, as a troll and as a pro, I think you should kind of take some of that of what I'm saying, not because I am this great. You know, oh, look at him. He knows everything about this stuff. But I think that that's the best way to take it, is to kind of take it in stride and just have some fun with it, because that's what it is for me. I have fun with someone telling me how bad I am.
You gotta have fun.
You can't, but yeah, because if you take it seriously and you take it to heart and you take it personally and you sit there and you dwell on it and you let it affect you negatively, then you like I said before, you've given it power. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. You cannot allow that to happen. And the people that are going to say the most vile, ridiculous, you know, just spew the vitriol and bile at you and all this horrible, horrible, horrible stuff, that's the kind of stuff you can't give a platform to.
Right.
You can never give that a platform. And that is, like I said, that is crossing the line.
Right.
That is where fans now have gone, where you're no longer a fan. You are just a bad person.
You're just a dickhole.
Yeah. You're just an asshole that is you have some kind of problem. You know, there's definitely something wrong with you.
Or life choices, probably.
Yeah, you there's definitely something wrong with you. It may not be, you know, clinical, but you definitely have some sort of an issue. Either you're unhappy with what you are, or you're just generally an unhappy person. Mm-hmm. You're just a miserable person.
Right. And
that's how I feel about it.
For all the, you know, for the level-headed fans, right, we've talked about the extremes, both White Knights and Black Knights. I don't know. I don't know if that's good. I don't know if I like Black Knights.
White Knights and Bridge Trolls.
There we go. That's perfect. What about, you know, there's the majority of the fans, they're going to be level-headed. They're going to be moderate. They're still going to tell you suck every now and then, but they're not going to wish horrifying terrors upon your family.
Here's the thing. The minority is going to be the most vocal.
Well, even the positive ones you're going to end up ignoring.
Unless you have the lowest self-esteem in the world, you're not going to sit there begging for people to say to you, you know, you're not going to troll for positive compliments. You're not going to be like, you know, you're not going to be like, I need to be told I'm good. Please tell me I'm good.
Tell me I'm pretty.
You know, that gets lost in the shuffle. You know, that's why you can sit there. I can assure you right now, if any pro is listening to this podcast right now, and I'm sure there may be one.
Maybe.
It happened to stumble upon this. Maybe more. I don't know. Because we don't really make any kind of attempt to interact with them at this moment. But if one is listening to this right now, I will make a tweet. I will pick 10 pros at random and make a tweet to you. Hey, great job.
Sure.
And you will never respond to it. But I can assure you, if I made a really horrible tweet.
Something nasty.
Really, really nasty. And I could think of something that's probably pretty bad because I'm an adult and I have a pretty vast vocabulary and I've been on some bad websites. I bet you I can evoke more of a response than just telling you you're good and I really appreciate what you do. And that's not the fault of a pro because if they sit there and respond to every single
human being.
Exactly. Because that's the news. The news, you know, it romanticizes terrible things. Yeah. It puts, you know, it runs a story about, you know, 10 guys, you know, fucking stabbing an innocent man that was just walking down the street, or, you know, it glamorizes all of these terrible things instead of posting about, you know, a guy who saw a homeless man and gave him a sandwich and helped him up and took him to a soup kitchen or something.
People also kind of gravitate towards those kind of stories. So
exactly, it's rubberneck syndrome.
If there's a tweet that says, you know, dear high, I hope your hands fall off so you never play for C9 again, not only is that going to get a whole bunch of retweets and favorites.
Yeah, it's going to get a lot of traction.
And a whole bunch of stuff. High is probably going to respond to it. And then that's going to get retweets and favorites and responses. But to that one guy that said, dear high, I hope you feel better.
Well, not that one guy. That probably thousands of guys who said that.
Maybe a girl in there, too.
Maybe even a couple of girls.
Those are getting lost in the noise.
Yeah, because those aren't – because you know what those are? People being normal human beings. And that
we're
is not
that.
Yeah, that's not sexy. Yeah. That's not newsworthy.
Yeah.
And part of, I think, the problem is the exposure that negativity gets.
And how easy it is to get the
– especially, you see, the thing is with professional athletes, there is that level of anonymous because now with Twitter and Facebook and all of that into the game.
Everyone's
going to
layer
anonymity.
Anonymity.
Right. There's a level of anonymity now that that protects you from having to deal with it face to face. Before the internet age entered sports, the only way you would get at a player is in the game. I mean, in baseball is a perfect example. If you sit in field box level seats, I mean, you're feet away from a player. They can hear you. They can absolutely hear everything that you say. So imagine you're a pro League of Legends player, and your games are what? An hour long at most?
Yeah.
Your average games will say 45 minutes. Now imagine having someone telling you you suck where you can hear them because you're not wearing, you know, noise-canceling headphones, telling you you suck in a bevy of clever and fun ways.
This is one person amongst a stadium of a million people that have got your
But back. They're the loudest voice. Yeah. And them telling you how much you suck for 4 hours.
Yeah. And we're not saying that's okay.
No, it's not okay. But what I'm saying is that you
have to deal with it.
Yeah, that's not going to go away. Now, on the internet, it's going to be worse because it's a million people can do that all at once. But the thing is you can just click and close Twitter and not look at it for that rest of the day.
Yeah.
You can take that day off and just kind of be like, you know what? I'm done looking at Twitter right now because you had a bad day. You know, you did something bad and now all of the negativity is raining in. You know, when you're on the field, you can't get rid of that.
Mm.
And there was an instance hold on, I actually have this written down because this...
Do people... is there, like, the security ever remove hecklers from a game?
Only if they become... I don't want to say dangerous, but if they get to the point where they are now ruining the experience for those around them. But if you have an entire stadium all saying the same thing, what are you going to do? Remove the whole stadium?
But if it's,
like,
if
here's
it's
a perfect example.
Guy.
Yeah, like the segue to that is on Thanksgiving Day 2012, the Jets were playing. Now, this is on Thanksgiving Day.
Big football game.
Yes, but Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, a time for thanks and giving.
Yeah.
The Jets were playing the Patriots. Big rivalry game. They were playing, I'm almost 100% positive as they were playing, the Jets were home. Almost 100% positive. They got obliterated in that game. Jets got crushed for about, I mean, it was much longer than that, but there's a video online of about a minute and 10 seconds of the Jets walking off the field into the tunnel that takes them off the field. I won't even say it was like even halftime. I don't even know if it was the end. Actually, it was the end of the game. It was the end of the game. So they're coming off the field, and it's 50,000 strong booing them. And the ones
Jets
that were
home.
Jets were, the Jets fans, their home fans, booing them to holy hell. And the ones that were closest to the tunnel, because the way the tunnel goes, there's fans here, there's fans here, and there's fans here all around it, screaming at them, telling, now here, let's have it, calling them garbage, pathetic, terrible, a disgrace, they suck. You know,
right.
All of these horrible things in their home.
And these are people that that are actual fans too, right? These are people
they paid to go to the
cheering.
Game.
They were cheering at the beginning of the game.
Well, you assume that they were cheering at the beginning of the game. Jets fans are a pretty self-deprecating bunch, but
clap.
Yeah, they're these are fans that paid good money to go to this game. And the things they were saying were just profoundly horrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, as a pro, you know, and you could see them walking in, their heads are down. They know they're not happy with their performance. But they're being let have it. Now, any one of those players could have stopped and said, do you want to come down here and do it? Do you think you can do this? Because the answer to that is a resounding no.
Well,
not a single person in that stands could do what the Jets
they'll
do.
They'll say they can.
I'm sure that they'll say that they can, but those will be beer muscles talking. But I mean, reality, no, not a single person in those stands could have done better than anybody on that field. Just like the guy who says, "So as you suck, you know, you're fucking terrible. You're the worst top laner in the world. I hate the way you play. I hate everything about you. I want you to kill yourself." That guy can't do what So As does. On So As's worst day, he's better than that guy.
But on Soez's best day, is this guy cheering Soez on, or is he still saying he's the worst?
Well, that's remains to be seen.
Right.
That's the person.
Is there such a thing as a person that's only a positive fan, or
here's the thing.
A lot?
Let me. There is no such thing, I think, as a only positive fan. I think being a fan, you know, negativity and positivity is the yin and the yang. You have to deal with both. Mm-hmm. The level of negativity, though, is, again, and there's a study on this. There was a study on this, and I don't have the actual information on the study. I will find it later. But I was reading a bunch of articles about this. And there's a study, and they were talking about how fans, when their team does bad or their players do bad, how they take it out on those around them. You know, because this guy was talking about how he went to the store, like the market or something, and the girl working the cash register was wearing a big Oakland A's jersey, and he's like, oh, you know, and she looked unhappy, and he's like, oh, you know, was there a game today? And she's like, yeah, my boyfriend is actually a fan. He's like, but, you know, they lost today, and he's, you know, he pretty much takes it out on me when they do bad. He goes, she's like, so I'm picking up extra time because I know that they lost today.
You should break up.
So... Exactly, but what I'm saying is that there's those type of fans who the negative affects them so much that they lash out to those around them. Now, here's the thing. This is what the study was on. It's not the sports or the team that makes that person that way. That person is that way already.
They've just glommed onto the sport.
This is just an excuse to be that way. This is their way of lashing out for whatever reason because they're not, you know, you basically, to put it in layman's terms, you were a jerk off before the Oakland A's lost. Right. You're just using the Oakland A's losing to be a jerk off to those around
you. Justify it.
Exactly. You were a bad guy before the game started.
Deep down, this guy doesn't give a shit about the team.
Yeah, and that's what, and I think that pertains to these type of fans. Yeah. You know, the TSM fan who gets mad because I said, fuck you, TSM fan, that guy is well within his rights to be mad at me for saying that. You could be mad at me for saying that. I meant it in jest because there was a situation, but you could be mad at me for saying that. But then when you turn around and make a personal attack at me, then you're in the wrong.
Yeah.
Because I didn't say, you know, fuck you, Jeff, whatever your name is, because I'm not talking to you, Jeff, you know, specifically. But, you know, that's where, you know, you take the critique of the team. You know what I mean? It's like, it's such a weird fine line, and it's such a strange situation where, you know, is it the team that made you the bad guy, or were you the bad guy already?
Most of these people are probably already the bad guy already.
And that's what I'm saying, and that's what I think. I think personally is that you're already a bad person. Yeah. You're already a jerk-off. You already have some kind of issue, either personal, emotional, sociological, whatever it is. You already have some kind of, even just a slight screw loose, where things like that can set you off.
Right. And these are the people that you either just have to ignore, or
those of you know, you have to ignore them, period.
Or I think, you know, you can pick one out. If there's a bunch of them, you pick one out, just tear them to bits.
I don't know. I feel like that's the zombie effect.
I think that's the Richard Lewis effect. And I think it's actually,
I feel like that's the, no, like Richard it. Lewis responds to almost everybody that's but like he negative. He'll retweet
so
them.
Well, it's amazing.
It's because he's English.
He's so clever.
It's because he's English.
I think it's great. Somebody tweets at him some random nonsense mean thing, and he's like, hey, look at all the dick things you've always said. I don't give a shit.
He's yeah, and I
power
but
away from them.
But yeah, but look at the hot water it's gotten Richard Lewis in the past.
He's still pretty successful. I think he's all right.
No, I'm not talking about his success. But look at the situation he just dealt with the pro, with the CSGO, Loda.
I mean, that guy probably deserved it.
You know, I'm not saying he didn't, but what I'm just saying is that, look, a joke spiraled out of control. Yeah. You know, it's just...
Don't ever meet these Twitter people in real life, is the moral of the story.
Well, honestly, and I'll say this, those are weak people, and those are people who will never say it to your face.
Right.
And I defy somebody just to try and say that to somebody's face. Because you want to know what? And again, this is me just shooting from the hip. If you want to call me cancer to my face, I will knock you the fuck out. Say it to my face. Let's square up. Yeah. You know,
that'd be fun to see.
You're not going to. Let's just put it that way. And I'm not saying because I'm some big tough guy. What I'm saying is because I'm confrontational.
I think there's evidence to the fact that people won't do this in person is because you get this overwhelmingly positive experience in the stadium, right? You go to an LCS game.
It's amazing.
Nobody boos.
No, there's no negativity. Right? And you want to know why? Yeah, there's no negativity. And that's because esports is so young. Esports is so new. You know, it being in as far as a stadium sport goes, that people are just happy to be there and see it live in their town. I mean, you look at how many people are like, oh, I wish they would do an event here. I wish they would do an event here. Can you come here? Can you come here? Because they want to see it live. They don't care. I wouldn't have cared if the teams I saw were TSM versus you know, whatever team I don't like. I would have still gone because it would have been awesome. Yeah. But because it's the experience, it's being able to be around people who are the same as you in some regard. You're all there for the same reason, to see great play.
You always start getting local esports teams, you know.
Well, yeah, then you're going to have true fans. Yeah. Then you'll start building actual fan bases that aren't supporting just singular players. They're supporting the team no matter who comes and who goes.
Right.
You know, like if I hated Doublelift, but I was a huge Dignitas fan. If Dignitas got Doublelift, guess what? I'm a Doublelift fan now, as long as he's on Dignitas. Right. It's like the situation when the Yankees signed Alex Rodriguez. Everyone in baseball hated Alex Rodriguez, but he was a great player. The reason, you know, you start cheering for Alex Rodriguez is when he's on your team.
Right.
You hate him when he's not, but you love him when he's there. And that's the situation that we would run into now. And that's where kind of, I guess, esports fandom has to evolve.
I think esports fandom is at the reverse right now, right? People are fans of the players. Like, there's a ton of huge Doublelift fans, right? And so because they were Doublelift fans, they were also CLG fans. Now that he's all these Doublelift fans are now TSM fans.
But that's a weird thing because TSM and CLG are big orgs that I think are starting to transcend the just the fan of the player situation.
You think so?
I think that they're bigger. Not necessarily like they're, as far as other teams go, yes. Mm-hmm. They are big. I think they are that. They are your Yankees and Red Sox. You know, they are your Patriots and Giants. They are your teams that have been there every single year. Now.
Right.
CLG isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Well, no matter how bad they are,
how bad
the organization, the organization's not going to just go away tomorrow. And the TSM is in the same boat. They're not just going to go away if they have a bad season. So I think you're going to have. And it's gonna, and it's funny that you say that, you know, with Doublelift fans, is that I think because TSM and CLG are such rivals as far as fans go, I think then you run into the situation of a fan being like, oh, I love Doublelift, but I hate TSM. What do? I have to kill myself. Yeah. You know,
that's why there was a suicide spike when that announcement was made.
Exactly. You know, it's totally CLG fans everywhere are on suicide watch. But yeah, it's, you know, so in a situation like that, but yeah, ultimately you're right in a general sense. Esports doesn't have it entirely because because there are no franchises other than teams like CLG and Dignitas.
Are they franchises? And I guess kind of.
They're not franchises in like the dictionary definition of it, but they're franchises in a sense of that they're stable organizations that aren't going to go away tomorrow, like Impulse or Gravity.
Institutions is probably
Is a better term, but I'm just riffing on sports with this in this regard. So.
I always think I kind of had it right. Back in my SC2 days, I was a huge fan of EG, right? EG was my team, but I fucking hated Idra. He was the worst. He was one of the only North Americans to have fairly consistent kind of success against Koreans.
Right.
Total turd burglar. But you know what? He's on EG.
Yeah, you got to support him.
I'm an Idra fan.
You got to support him. And that's good because you want to know what? That's what being a true fan is about, is seeing past the flaws of someone you don't like and supporting the team in whatever whatever constitution that they are
within
at that
the proper
time.
Context. So we said previously, it's okay to tell them they suck, right?
Because
you want them to get
and it's
better.
Okay to, and it's okay to be mad when they fuck up. It's okay to be angry at them and be like, fucking Idra. God damn it, every time.
Yeah, but at the end of the game. At the end of the game, you clap your hands, you say good game, and then you say.
You better fucking win next game. That's all I can say.
Next time.
You better fucking win next game. That's all I can say. Yeah, and that's fine. That's fine because that's what being a fan is. If you say, Idra, I'm going to blow up your house and kill your parents, that's wrong.
Not okay.
You are wrong. Yeah. Good idea, bad idea. You know? Pinky and the Brain had it right. Yeah. So it's definitely, it's such a strange conversation to have with people.
And a lot of people don't get it either. Right.
And here's the thing. Why do pros care so much about what fans think?
That I think it's because they're exposed to them so much, right? It's almost like being indoctrinated, right? You have all of this noise going on. All these words are happening around you constantly, and it's difficult to get away from because you do want to be involved in your community. And some of this stuff kind of sticks to it.
Right.
You know? When I was reading the comments on our Reddit thread, my immediate gut reaction was to jump in and respond and defend myself. Then I had to quell
that. Well, you already know what I said about that. I was ready to go.
Put that down and go.
It's tough.
I should respond to this one. I should respond to this one. I should ignore.
Right. You want to. You want. Well, the thing is that what you did is what you hope everyone would do. At least it's hard for. But it's hard for when you're bigger. Like for us, it's easy because we only had like 30 or 40 situations where that was very easy to respond to everything when you don't have very much to respond to.
25 million followers. Twitter.
Yeah, when even when you have 1,000 followers, it's still hard.
A little more difficult.
you know, it becomes very difficult to respond to only the positives. But you did the right thing there. You responded to the positives with positivity.
And I responded to some negatives.
No, I know you did, but I'm saying is you did more encouraging than you did egging on, so to speak.
That's the key, is to always encourage more, be gracious to your supporters.
Right. It's not, but the thing is, you shouldn't care what fans are saying about you, but you should care what fans are saying about
you. Yeah, I think.
You know what I mean?
I think with that is, if a fan is saying something to you, like how to make you better.
If they give you an honest critique.
Well, even then, if I'm Bjergsen and a fan says maybe pick this next time, I'm not listening to him, right? Fucking Bjergsen. I know what to pick. You don't have to tell
exactly.
me.
Exactly. No, and they have analysts and coaches that their job is to tell them, no, you want to know what? That guy was actually right. You probably should have just picked
that. Yeah, but
no
one's going to say that.
No one's going to say that. Coach. There's no such thing. Armchair quarterbacks are armchair quarterbacks for a reason.
Yeah, they're on the armchair.
They're because they're sitting there watching.
Yeah. You can't.
And yes,
you can't take those people seriously.
Right? And yes, yeah, you want to know what? When you went 1-4 in mid lane and the guy who was playing against you was Azir, you probably shouldn't have picked, but you picked. But you didn't know that going in because you thought you were going to do good on it. And you didn't.
You know, remember that.
It's easy to say afterwards.
Take your own analysis of the situation, you know, file that away. But to Joe Schmo on Twitter that says maybe pick Azir first next time, don't listen to that guy. It doesn't matter if he's right, you know?
No.
You can't listen to all of that because there's going to be way more bad advice than there is good advice, and these people aren't qualified.
No, they're not good advice. If you're getting advice from someone and they're in Silver 4, that's not advice you should take.
But if somebody says, here's, I think, is the other side of that coin. If someone says, or a whole bunch of people say, I don't like how you reacted to... you know, I don't like how you were acting in that interview. Maybe you were kind of confrontational. Maybe you were kind of passive aggressive.
Or during stream. Oh, you were a dick during stream.
Or you're a total troll in solo queue, right? And people are saying, you're a total troll in solo queue. I don't really like you as a person. Maybe something that like that you can listen to a little bit.
Yeah, well, because the public there, they're the ones watching you.
Like there was a...
Maybe you don't realize you're being a troll. Yeah. Or you do and you just don't care. And then you're kind of a bad person.
Was still a player. And he was kind of a dick, right? There's a video of him being just a dick to Xspecial. And people are like,
there's a lot of videos of a lot of pros being dicks.
Yeah, and you know, there's all these videos and people are like, Reggie, you were being an asshole. And you know, maybe right away don't listen to it. But if that's the overarching theme over and over, every time you drop a video, Reggie, you're kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
Turn up the volume a little bit.
Either change what you are or recognize and say, yeah, you're right. I am an asshole. This is who I am. But that's the thing is that there's no ownership from players' perspectives as well. You know what? Because they're pissed that they're being sniped and they're being ghosted and that people are saying nasty things about them and people are doing all this other stuff. But you flip the coin and how many times have you seen pros troll in games?
I mean...
In just solo queue games, not in pro games.
I mean, there are people that have been banned.
Or in some cases, like what TSM did a few years ago in a game that didn't matter when they picked Teemo and all this other nonsense.
Yeah, that's shitty.
I mean, that was a troll move. That's, you know, say what you want that it was, oh, it's all in good fun. But you're being a dick. And you can't really complain then about being trolled when you're trolling.
Yeah.
Set an example because you are the example.
That's really the crux of it from a pro point of view, right? Is that you have to be the change that you want to see.
Exactly. You're not.
And you are under a microscope every time you're on the computer.
Yeah. Everything you do is going to be, magnified 100 times by the public. Yeah. So if listen, you're a kid, you're having fun. Everyone understands that. That's great. You're also a pro, and your job is to do the best that you can for your team, whatever that team may be, you know, on the field of play at all times when playing.
In practice and in play.
Practice like you play. So, you know, all of those situations where, and I get it, it's a game, it's supposed to be fun, but it is still your job. You're still doing something that a majority of the game playing population specific to that particular game is not doing. You're getting paid to play that game professionally.
To the best of
your ability. So it is your responsibility to represent yourself like a pro. And if you're being a troll and you're being a jerk off in the games because you feel like it, like Meteos is like notorious for just being a douche.
Yeah.
Great player. You know, I'm sure he's a great guy, but when he plays, sometimes the big douche, and he's completely well in his rights to be
some
so.
Some of it's reactionary, right? You know, but you don't, get the Disco Nunu.
Yeah, yeah. But then don't complain when someone does it to you. Because you really don't have... You're being a hypocrite then.
You have to
then.
Rise above it. And it's hard. Yeah, it's not fun. And I'm sorry.
No, it's not. It's very difficult. No. And you know what? No one said being a pro is easy. If it was, everyone would do it.
I'd fucking do it if it was easy.
Right? If it was easy, I'd be already there, man. I'd be there fucking with the bitches and Crystal. It'd be like a rap video.
Just like that. Yeah.
Exactly. I would live my life like a rap video. Or something to that effect.
Right.
So, I mean, I think ultimately, to kind of sum it all up, is that, you know, fans live vicarious through pros.
That's what makes them fans, is this.
That's what makes them fans, is that, yeah, is that because they can't do it, because they can't do what you do at your level, they're living vicariously through you. Your successes, their team successes, that's their success. Right. Your failures and the team's failures, those are their failures. So the only way that
they're having a bad day.
And the people around them may have a bad day because of it. So that's the thing, is, and that's not your responsibility. I'm not blaming you, and I'm not saying now you have to remember, don't ever do anything bad because there's a million people that are counting on you. That's not at all what I'm saying. But that's why you can't let fans affect you in that way negatively, because you're putting a lot on yourself. And if you're worried about, you know, the attention that you're going to get by playing poorly, and you're worried about, what are they going to say on Reddit? What are they going to say on Twitter? What's my Facebook going to blow up with, you know, of negativity and letting you down and all this other stuff. You can't let that, as a pro, affect you. But for the fans' perspective, is that they're living vicariously through you. So you can't put that on a player.
From us going from to the fans, you cannot put all this responsibility on a player. You have to let them play to the best of their ability and accept.
Let them do their thing. Let them do what they did that made you a fan, and understand that eventually you'll either all be okay, or they'll retire and someone will replace them, or in some regard. And, you know, eventually things will even out. Because as a fan, you take the good with the bad.
And it's okay.
You take them both, and there you have the facts of life.
It's okay to express yourself. You're allowed to tell somebody they suck within the confines of the game, right?
Yeah, listen, you're allowed to be pissed off when your team loses. You're allowed to be pissed off when Bjergsen sucks. You're allowed to be pissed off when Double Lift plays stupid. Yeah. But you're not allowed to tell them you're going to kill their families.
And also, you don't even have to tweet about it.
Right? No, you don't. You know what? You don't have to tell them.
Just don't.
You can yell in your room. Like what was it called? Like Sky said.
Just don't.
Or just don't.
That's great.
Maybe don't. That was one of the best videos I've seen.
Amazing. That's amazing advice.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That is like... I hope you wrote that down, because I'm sure you all watched Sky's video. But if you didn't,
just don't.
You should. You know what?
That one you should.
You should. No, not that's where that doesn't apply to this situation.
Yes.
Hey, you want to know what? Bjergsen had a terrible game. I'm gonna fucking tweet him and tell him how much I hate him and how much I want him to die and get cancer. Or just don't.
You know what you can do though? You can say, "God damn it! I wish Bjergsen was playing better." That's totally acceptable. Look how easy
do that.
Is.
Definitely do that. Flip it around. You want to know what? You want to know positivity. Be positive. That's how you're going to rally the team. You know, the job of the fan, because fans have a job, and the job of the fan is to build up their team when they're down. Build up their players when they're down. Your job is to cheer them to the point where they're going to be like, fuck, man, everyone's behind us. Let's do this. I want to win. I want to win more than ever now. Everyone's behind us. Look at the fucking positive outcry on Twitter. Reddit's going nuts. They want us to win. We have to do this. We have to do this for ourselves, and we have to do this for our fans. And that is the best thing you could do, because as a fan, that is your job, to build up your team.
We just said we're allowed to tell them that they suck.
You are allowed to tell them that they suck, but your job is to build them up no matter what.
So right after you tell them you suck, you tell them...
You get it out of your system, but then the next day, it's a new day. It's another game.
You don't keep telling them they suck.
No, you can't tell them that they suck while they're playing the whole time, because that's just, then you're not a fan, you're just a dick. You have to say, fine, you fucking suck. Thursday, you sucked. Everything you did on Thursday was bad. You were terrible. Fucking, what the hell is wrong with you? Friday comes. Let's go, boys. We got this shit. Fuck Dignitas. We're going to kill Dignitas today. Bjergsen's going to go 26-0, and we're going to crush them, and they're going to have to surrender at 20 because they're embarrassed. We're going to mop the floor with Dignitas. And that's what you do. It's building up your team. You let it go. Turn the page. Cliche, cliche, cliche. You
acknowledge their shortcomings, but then build it up.
Yeah. Yeah, and then turn it around. And you know what? Another day. That's how you do. That's how you deal with being a fan. You know, you think being a Mets fan, you know, everything was all Sherry and Giggles? No, man, it was never Sherry and Giggles.
Sherry?
Even Sherry and Giggles. You know, it's in English. Sorry, I'll say, oh, Sherry and Giggles. Is that better? Nobody drinks Sherry and nobody says Giggles, except if you're English. No, but you think being a Mets fan was all good and easy? No, man, it was hard goddamn work. And I had to, every day I had to be like, oh, we lost another game. I fucking hate the Mets. Why are you so bad? Even when you're winning, you're still a little bit negative. Why? Because you've been burned so many goddamn times that you have calluses on your fingers.
That's true about every underdog team.
And exactly, and that's what I'm saying, is that you want to know what? You may hate it, they may drive you crazy, but they're your team, and you have to love them.
Yeah.
And that's what means to be a fan. Not the white knighting, not the bridge trolling, not the donating, not the telling you that you should die, not the telling you that I love you. It's just supporting the team in whatever it is that they do.
Right.
And just being there for the team. Being a fan, because that's what they want you to be. They want you to be a fan. They want you to cheer. They want you to care so much when they do bad that it bothers you, because they want you to come back and cheer even harder to tell them that they're going to win the next game. That is your job. That is the only thing that a fan has in the context of the sport that they are following, that they are a fan of. That is the only power that they have, is to just be devoted to their team in such a way that it means so much to them that it'll affect them in both a positive and a negative way, be it a win or a loss.
Hopefully positive.
Yeah, that's like that, but that's the only power that a fan has. And that's why a few weeks ago on a show, that when they were saying that venues that League of Legends was being at, they were asking you not to boo. That's taking the only power a fan has. Mm-hmm. It's taking it away from them.
It's a picking who to cheer for.
It's telling them that they're not allowed to be negative. They're not allowed to not be negative, but they're not allowed to boo. Because and there isn't a lot of booing going on, but that's still, it's the only voice a fan has. And if you're just booing because your favorite team, you know, got beaten, that's not bad. No one feels sad for that, and you shouldn't feel sad for that, because unfortunately you're playing a popular team. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't be what's focused on. Because you have fans too. There isn't a team out there alive, there isn't a player out there alive that doesn't have a fan. And that's where you're focusing on the negatives versus focusing on the positives is gone. Because when they write articles on that, oh, well, you know, the Ku Tigers don't have any fans, or everyone wants SKT to win.
And that's bullshit.
That's not,
I want a Ku Tiger
that's not
to
the,
win.
But think that's not the way that you attack that. Because they have fans. That's not an article you should be writing.
I mean, you can.
And it's very difficult. Yes, I'm saying it's very difficult to describe and explain and define fandom, because there are so many exceptions to so many different, I just went through things that are complete exceptions to each other, where I said, your job is to cheer. Yeah. I said, well, your job is to cheer, but you're allowed to boo. You know, it doesn't make sense, but being a fan doesn't make sense. That's why it's beautiful.
That's why it's short for fanaticism.
Exactly, but that's why it's beautiful. That's why it's amazing. That's why it's poetic. That's why, you know, they can make movies about being fans. That's why you have movies like Fever Pitch, you know, where people are, you're so devoted to something that it means so much to you. And that's an amazing feeling. And to anybody out there that hasn't felt about being such a rabid fan of something and feeling the highs and the lows, you know, I implore you to latch onto something for a few years and really feel it, because it's amazing. You know, and it sounds ridiculous. And if you're not a fan of something, it's very difficult to understand. It's very difficult to empathize with, but it's amazing. Like for me this year with the Mets going to the World Series, I was It was the best thing ever. And they didn't even win, and I was still like, yes! It was amazing to see other Mets fans, and that's all you want to see as a fan of anything. It, you know, it sucked, it hurt, but you want to know what? We got there. We made it. No one expected us to.
And what were your,
and that's all that mattered.
Facebook posts like after the loss?
Hashtag LGM.
Let's go Mets.
Yeah. There you go. That's it. That's what, you know, the posts were, you know, yeah, tonight sucked, but get them tomorrow. And tomorrow's a new day. And that's the only thing that you can do. Yeah.
Let's end the show on that note, actually.
Yeah. I agree. I think ending it on a positive, because that's what fans should be, is a positive influence overall. Yeah.
Should be.
Not saying you have to be like a smiling idiot all the time, but be a positive influence overall. Yeah. And I think that everything will be fine.
That's great. I think we learned a lot tonight.
Right? I hope we learned a lot tonight.
I definitely learned a little bit.
Okay, well, there you go. I hope we learned a lot tonight. I learned a little
bit.
That's good. That's a bad start, but keep going.
I was at the part of the show, so I knew some of this stuff coming in.
That's true. Fair point. Well, thank you guys so much. This, you know, is a special episode that we did, obviously. I hope you guys enjoyed it. It was a little bit different than normal, but not so much. Eventually, we did sneak in some of our normal
but
habits.
Not one dick joke.
But no poop either.
Not one poop monologue either.
Look, we're like adults now. Almost adults. Thank you guys again. I, of course, am Captain Hooks.
I am Pan the Man.
And we will see you on the Rift, and support your teams.
Bye-bye.